Good morning, good afternoon, guys. Welcome back to another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean. I'm joined by Mike.
Hello.
And Aaron. And today we will be discussing Mike's recommendation for us in light of recent events. A tragedy befell the Power Rangers.
That's right. Rest in peace, Jason David Frank. My childhood. So, you know, Power Rangers was always one of my favorite things. Always referenced it on the Godzilla shows we did. Like, that's why I liked Godzilla, because it was like the same.
Same way.
Like, yeah. So, yeah. So, the 1995 Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, which is not connected. What's the word?
Canonically,
yes. To the TV series, but still, everybody liked it as a kid. I'm just going to read the summary to start us off. A giant egg is unearthed at a construction site and soon opened, releasing the terrible Ivan Ooze, who wreaks vengeance on Zordon, for imprisoning him.
Gordon.
Millennia ago. 6,000 years, I think he said, to be exact. With Zordon dying and their powers lost, the Rangers head to a distant planet to find the mystic warrior Dalcea. To find the great power. I don't know why it just stops there.
Yeah, which is just so strange, because Dalcea was like in the movie for all of 5 minutes.
Like, we're just like
expected. And actually, they weren't even looking for her. Happened upon her.
Did Alpha 5 even mention her?
Nope.
I don't think so.
I actually missed the whole part where Alpha 5 was sending them to another planet.
Yeah. Yeah, with the last bit of energy that the command center had, Alpha 5 was like, go to this planet. I don't know.
Find the great power.
Or else Ivan Ooze will destroy us all! Destroy us all!
So the movie opens up with a great skydiving scene.
Yeah. Right into the action.
The Rangers, right into the green screen.
The Rangers skydive.
And the biggest, at this point, I don't know. 95. It probably didn't cost them very much. They open up with a Red Hot Chili Pepper song. Roller Coaster, I think is what it was called. But anyway. So the Rangers are skydiving. And Bulk of Skull is there, as per usual, to the TV show. And yeah, they go from a skydiving scene into a rollerblading scene. I mean, super 90s.
These unemployed teenagers are just really living it up.
I mean, Zordon has to be paying them, because, like, at that...
Is he, or, like, do they go there and they're like, hey.
Stuff for him.
Yeah, like, do they go there and he's like, listen, saving the world is paying off, isn't it? And they're like, yeah, I guess.
You're being paid in exposure. Unless they're,
I don't know, maybe they're all rich.
Maybe.
At their home lives. I
was going to say, do we ever meet the parents?
I know.
Yeah.
There was one episode that I remember where we see Kimberly at home, but I don't think we see, like, any parents.
I remember the show being a lot more, like, drama-centric with their lives and things.
Yeah, I mean, half of it took place at school.
Yeah, and this movie doesn't really have any of that character stuff.
No.
It's basically just, like, you know, the Rangers, they're going to do their thing. And then they're gonna fight all the time. That's pretty much the movie. It's just like constant, like, battle sequences, and then one transitionary, like, bit of exposition to another battle sequence.
Yeah,
you know,
the entire movie.
This whole franchise needs is how, like, Winnie the Pooh moved into public domain, and they did, like, Pooh, Blood and Honey, like that horror movie. There needs to be. The Power Rangers needs to move into public domain so that you can take the Power Rangers movie, but make it so they're all schizophrenic and think that they're, like, fighting giant monsters and shit, but really they're not.
Like, they're all in those suits. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, straitjacket.
Yeah, straitjacket. They're all straitjackets in a padded cell together.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all going like, ooh.
Oh my god.
We gotta stop Ivanoos. Like, yeah. But it's like all like a schizophrenic nightmare happening. Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think
that's what the franchise needs.
Did they just didn't Nickelodeon just sell it back to Disney or something?
I don't know.
I think Disney now owns them.
Yeah.
Owns
either way, they've been Power making Power Rangers titled properties since the 90s. So there's it's not there going to enter into public domain in a very long time.
No. Yeah, they had a brief stint where there wasn't anything. It was like from 2009 to like 2011 or something. I'm probably totally wrong about that. But there
were Carl Sagan is being very stingy.
Oh my. yeah, I don't know. We don't have to go frame by frame. So Ivanhoe's is released. The construction workers.
Is he like so much more powerful just because he's been locked away for so long, or is he just like defaultly?
It just sounds like
stronger than
he's just a much Lord more Zed powerful in, villain.
Rita Repulsa and all them.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like funny, like that they teamed up to like awaken this almighty power, and it's like why couldn't you guys just all work together instead of?
Well, that's the whole point of the show is that they work together and they still can't beat.
Yeah, it's Gordon. It starts out just
Zordon.
The show originally starts out with just Rita.
Just Rita.
And then I forget when Zed comes in.
Well,
but
I don't. I'm sure you know a little bit of the history of what the Power Rangers are. It was originally a Japanese property called Super Sentai,
right?
Yeah. And then, I guess America just got like the rights to use the footage.
No, it was
Stan Lee actually.
It's sketchy. You gotta
He was involved.
Yeah, you have to watch The Toys That Made Us.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting my.
It talks about Saban buying those and using them, and like he. Ended up, it was basically like editing.
Yeah,
it was an editing masterpiece.
Yeah,
because they spliced the American footage and the Japanese footage together and like made a show, and it became really successful. And then it's spiraled out into the Power Rangers.
Obviously, by this point, it's moved beyond the sole Japanese.
Well, this footage. Was the first thing where like they had no footage to go off of.
Yeah,
like this was completely. American original. Made.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Which is why the suits themselves get a redo. Also because it's a big budget film.
Oh, yeah.
That's the big budget. It's always like, you're going to get a new costume.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, while we're on that subject, I don't actually like the movie costumes. Like, I don't think they pull it off.
These ones?
Yeah. No. These are like the original, but the ones we saw in the movie, like
I wasn't sure if you meant like the actual suits or the ninja suits.
The ninja suits look okay.
Those ones are cool.
Yeah,
I like those a lot.
And
they wore them for like 5 seconds, and then they like took their hoods and face masks off. I was like, what? It was looking cool.
And then when they fought again later, they were back on.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Sure they look upgraded. And the helmets look okay, but the suits just
fall apart on themselves. Yeah,
yeah, but it just doesn't match the hood, the helmet. I don't know.
How would you feel if you had to wear the same color of clothing every single day? Because that's what the Power Rangers do.
Yeah,
they are assigned a color, or maybe that's just their favorite color to begin with, and they like wear that color. And then it's like,
it's never really talked about.
Yeah, you're going to be. The White Ranger, and it's like, well, I have to wear white for the rest of my life. Or, you know, like even when they were skydiving, they had like the yellow V's or like the
white. I mean, it all goes back to
at that point, I'd say it's their favorite color because like Nobody's living their average everyday life going, I'm the Blue Ranger and I'm going to go to work, so I guess I got to fucking wear this blue shirt because that's who I identify with. Like, no.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I don't wear my favorite color every single day.
Well, you're also not a fucking Power Ranger.
So. I wish I was a Power Ranger. That'd be cool.
You ain't getting paid.
Except, yeah, I'm not able to do the gymnastics that they are. Is that a prerequisite to be a Power Ranger, too? You have to have a level of flexibility.
And... No, because Billy's just a nerd, like, initially. Like, he doesn't even know how to throw a punch in the, like, first episode.
No. Like, the suit makes you do it, and then the next day you hurt really badly.
Mm.
So, like, you do, like, a kick where, like, you raise your leg above your head. The next day you can't walk.
Yeah.
Like, I pulled something. The suit does that. You just, like, wake up the next morning and go, ow.
That's why they're teenagers and not middle-aged people.
Yeah, they wouldn't
be able to roll out of bed.
Zordon tried that one time and, like, ended up putting the entire team... Gordon tried that one time, and Brian Cranston ended up doing that one time and put the entire team in a geriatric ward for the rest of their lives.
My hip.
Oh my God. They're like 40. And they're like, ah. Oh my God. They can't even drive.
Oh my God.
I would hate to be the dude that is Ivan Ooze in this movie because of all of the shit that's just on him all the time.
See, like, and that's something that, like, so we just watched this, and that's something that I said to Mike. It's like, you know, if I was an actor who was, like, in a very big role, which Paul Freeman was in Raiders of the Lost Ark, he played Renee Belloc, who was the antagonist of the movie, one of the antagonists of the movie, I would just ham that the fuck up. Like, if you were that actor, you'd be like, yeah, whatever, I'll take that role. Oh, what, it requires, like, 6.5 hours in the makeup chair? Yeah, I'll do it. Ugh. Just to, like, do that and just ham it the fuck up. And just do it. I mean, like, Josh Brolin didn't have to do all that for Thanos because it was, like, all added in later.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that, you know, Josh Brolin's a great actor. If they wanted to him to play Thanos with, like, silly, he would have done it anyway. He'd have been like, yeah, I'll take entire opportunity just to do that.
It's kind of interesting when you think about it. So, obviously, this is, like, 30 years ago, but, like, how crazy long that people had to sit in makeup chairs and still do to an extent today. But like you said, Josh Brolin had on a motion caption suit and that was pretty much all that he had to do.
Yeah.
Like even like Zoe Saldana is only in a makeup chair for like 2 hours, which isn't even that extreme.
Because honestly, all they do is just paint her skin green and do like the line work of the face and then just highlight part of her hair as pink.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Now, Karen Gillan has an entirely different monster to...
I'm sure that she's in the chair for a while.
Yeah.
Like, Jim Carrey had to go through torture training to be able to play the Grinch.
Really?
Did you know about that?
No.
Yeah, he... After the first day on set, he was like... He went up to... Ron Howard, and he's like, I can't do this. So they hired like a torture like how do you endure torture like training, so that he was able to put the makeup on and be in costume for as long as he had to be.
See, like I don't know. Sometimes I hear that shit and I'm like, don't be so pretentious.
Like, I'm sure that it wasn't comfortable.
No. I'm sure it's not comfortable, but like, it's got to be fun. Like, you have to, like, plug in and, like, figure out, like, okay, this is kind of fun. Like, you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, shit, I look fucking ridiculous.
But what's the torture? Because I know with, like, Man on the Moon, Jim Carrey got, like, super in the character to where, like, he had actual bad blood with, like, Jerry the King Lawler. Like,
I mean...
Because he was literally, he became... What's his name?
I mean, I feel like you have that with every actor who has a big ego, and especially comedic actors. Like, you take into consideration Chevy Chase, Jim Carrey, Bill Murray, extremely big talents with equally large egos. And when you put them in that position, they're no longer having fun. They're becoming that, and it interferes with their...
They're like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
I am the Grinch.
No, yeah. Like
well, that's what I'm saying. Like what's the torture because you became the Grinch?
Yeah, because like they're not like trying to be method about it, but they end up becoming method about it, and it ends up fucking with their psyche and everyone else on set's psyche. And yeah, I mean, like,
that's why I was wondering if it was more that than the actual like putting the makeup on.
I mean, I think it's an ego trip on a lot of levels. Like Jim Carrey, for instance, that Grinch thing. That is sure. Did he have to endure a lot in the makeup chair? Yes, but I believe it's also part of an ego thing. And you take a look at like people like Chevy Chase, who never had to be in a makeup chair for anything or anything like that. He's a comedic actor who knows that he's great. And his ego is way up here. So any slight inconvenience to him is going to be detrimental to everyone else on set.
So nice.
So back to Paul Freeman playing Ivan Ooze. I don't think that he had a meltdown on this movie.
No, I would. He had all kinds of shit tacked onto his face.
He did.
A lot, yeah.
And
looking very much like... Grandpa Munster, somehow.
Eddie Munster. Yeah, exactly. he looked weird. But that's the
point. Like, I swear to God, like, you take away the extra stuff, like, he looked like him, I don't know.
And I know I made the comment while we were watching it that Ivan Ooze looks like Grandpa Munster, like you said, and then I mentioned that Gordon looks like, Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
And we all had to laugh about the fact that it's like pitting, because they're enemies, so it's like putting Uncle Fester against Grandpa, like, Monster.
So that was, you brought it up whenever it happened. It was so weird. So, what's the lore behind Zordon? Because in the new remake, he, like, his, like, body doesn't exist or something?
Yeah, it's more of his consciousness.
Yeah. So he shows up.
Actually, we have disadvantage on this because when we went to go see it, the film wasn't playing.
Yeah.
It was the audio.
Yeah.
So for 5 whole minutes, we never saw that opening where Zordon is fighting against Rita Repulsa. It was just audio.
Yeah.
So we were left to our own like imaginations on this.
Yeah.
So, I have no framework because then the movie started and I was like, we missed 5 whole minutes of that intro.
So I'm not, I mean, I've loved Power Rangers my whole life, but like, I don't know every, like, I don't claim to, you know, I enjoy it. Like, I'll throw it on randomly, but like, I'm such a Tommy Oliver fan that like I don't watch what's before it. It's not a lot that's before, it's like half of a season or something, but like, so I don't know if we ever knew anything about Zordon other than like I thought at one point the lore was he was like off world.
Okay.
And they might have put that in later, because there was, like, this big special where they brought Zordon back, like 5 or 6 years ago. But, yeah, I don't know. I find it weird that his body just, like, appears, and then he's just gone.
That's what I was saying. My understanding of it was that it's, like, his consciousness, essentially, because his body's destroyed or whatever.
Yeah.
Almost then, like a Jor-El in Superman.
Right.
Not actually him, it's his consciousness being...
Yeah.
So whenever Ivan Ooze goes in and destroys their, like, area, and then Zordon is just, like, a human, like, laying on a bunch of glass shards.
See, so there's no limbs, so I don't know exactly.
I didn't have, like, Alpha 5.
I don't think he had, I think it's just, like, a weird torso-y thing.
So, like, did Alpha 5 just, like... is Alpha 5 sick? Like, did they just decide to, like, keep this husk comatose body, like, alive? Like, is Zordon just in constant, like, I don't want to be alive anymore. But, like, Alpha he's 5 forced to, like, be projected. Like, and lead a group of, like...
Well, he seems to be in less pain when...
When he's projected.
When he's projected.
Yeah, because, like, he shows out, like, when it... Towards the end, he looks more like Emperor Palpatine, but, like, in the beginning, he looks like Uncle Fester, but, like, towards where, like, the power is draining, and he's dying, which I'm like, isn't he already dead? It's, like,
consciousness. I think there's something in the lore that, like, the morphing grid itself also keeps him alive. So when they lost the command center, which is powered by the morphing grid as well, I believe.
It's sorry, too. Rapidly.
Like, it starts to kill him. The Power Rangers can't morph. So that's why they needed to find the great power. Which is just... I don't know. Just,
it reverses time. Yeah, so the great power restores Zordon back to his holodeck form. But the corpse of Zordon just disappears.
Like, and we or don't even...
like. Within that, because, like, it's that...
He's laying on the crystal. Like,
Star's Garden in Dune. Well, floating in a tomb.
Floating in but, like, is it... All right, so, like, Zordon is, like, in the master control program, like, tube. But is that body, like, always below and it's just projected, like, outward?
Well, the crystal is, like, a mountain after it was reached. Form.
Yeah, the crystals.
So is he encased in there?
He must be for the movie.
So he's like comatose, like encased, preserved, like within there, and then his consciousness is just kind of projected via the crystal.
I don't know.
I mean, that kind of makes sense. Yeah. That it would just be like projected via.
I need answers.
I'm going to say yes. He is
encased. I don't want to be alive anymore.
He's encased in the kryptonite.
Alpha 5.
You are my slave! Hey, yeah, 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 yeah.
Bryce.
But that's a weird, bizarre part of the movie that just happened.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm
like, was it something to like, or you know what? It might actually be a smart plot device that they used where they're like, oh, the Rangers will become very sympathetic if we show them the rotting corpse of Zordon. And they're like, oh my god, it's actually a dude. We gotta save him.
I thought it was just the face.
Like, yeah, like, I mean, it could just be a very well-written plot device to, like, get them to be like, holy shit, we gotta go to this other planet and find this half-naked chick who's gonna show us how to get the power.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have a connection with Zordon, but, like, even in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Which we never see a body, but...
Not even in the movie.
Another thing that is with Zordon that kept throwing me off is that his audio was always just, like, a little out of sync with his mouth.
I think that's a...
So was Rita. Yeah. Did you notice that? Rita was, like, ADR dubbed.
For both of those...
I can't tell if that's like an artistic choice.
It's an artistic choice in this because Rita exists in Super Sentai.
Yeah.
So like.
So were they doing it just to like match that dub?
So they're matching her. And I think it's the same thing with Zordon. Like.
Okay. Yeah.
Because he exists also in Super Sentai.
Okay. That makes sense.
So I think it's a stylistic thing just for those characters.
It honestly
they should have went as far to do it whenever he was alive on like a human. Yeah. They should have like mismatched the audio. They should have went that far with it. That would have been great.
It reminds me of the 90s Godzilla movies where they incorporate a lot of English-speaking actors. Yeah. I'm not going to say American because they weren't American. I'm pretty sure they were like Canadian or... There's a few of them. Robert Scott is an example. An English-speaking actor. However, they... Once the cuts of the movie made it to TriStar for American distribution, they redubbed everyone, including English-speaking actors. So, like, English-speaking actors... For example, in Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, which Robert Scott is a part of, They will be saying the lines in English, but they are overdubbed with worse sounding voice actors. No. So, like, they're saying, like, things like Godzilla has disappeared, but it's like Godzilla has disappeared. Like, it's completely, like you know that they're saying that line, but it's mismatched.
Yeah, there's something off.
Yeah, like, you know that it's not coming out of their mouths. Or they say, like, Godzilla. Like, it's shit, like, that's a running meme, but, like, like, I get it that they're doing it for this movie, but, like, I was just bringing up cases where they're not doing it intentionally.
Right.
And it becomes just hilarious to watch.
Now, clearly, I don't know that that's a stylistic choice, but, like, to me, it seems like it would.
Yeah. Yeah, because
the TV show, that's what they do.
And there were lines where Rita, like, she said a line, and you know that she was saying that line, but it did not match.
See, there's a specific person, I don't know her name, that does, like, the Rita voice, like, the dub, or whatever. So that's probably why they wanted her voice, but that actress wasn't that...
Yeah,
the one that does the voice. So that's probably why. Also,
okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I will say, I think my favorite fight scene in the whole movie was whenever they're on the unnamed planet.
Yeah.
And they're fighting the bones of the carnivorous Triceratops.
Yeah.
I think you had went to the bathroom. I had the scene, but I was telling Mike it looked like it was CGI. But I knew that it was like an actual puppet, like a puppeteer, huge animatronic or whatever structure. Mm-hmm. But the way that it was like painted or lit, it looked CGI. It was so fucking weird.
Yeah.
And the same thing with those rock guys that they fought like right afterwards.
Yeah.
They looked CGI, but you knew that it was like a dude in a suit with the armor. It was so fucking weird.
You brought it up in the first fight scene with the ooze people. Like, there's some clean transitions.
Yeah, like, I forget, one of the ooze guys hits, like, beams that are being constructed and just turns to ooze.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. I was like, that was actually a very smooth transition. Like, there was no, like, and I know I joked about it throughout the entire movie about a New Line Cinema budget.
Yeah.
Because of Mortal Kombat that we watched and how poorly edited that movie was. But, like, you would think that, like, with this movie, just based on the first 30 minutes of the movie, that it was going to have, like, goofy-ass action and transitions, which it does. But in that case, like, one of the ooze guys, like, hits, and the camera is moving along with the character, and it hits and just, like, turns to ooze. And I'm like, how'd they do that?
Yeah,
like, you know, it was actually impressive, yeah. Like,
they do it more than once. There's a couple of different ones.
No, I have to give them credit where credit is due. Yeah. And that is the smooth transitioning of characters turning to ooze.
Or even when they face those rock guys. Like, because they're like they're like a stone mural.
Mm.
And then, like, they come alive. And, like, the knives, like...
Yeah, but like...
and then they turn into a life form. And, like, I think that... Sure, it's not, like, super, like, well done as it would be today. But I think they're pretty clean at the time, yeah.
I mean, it's almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really good.
But at the same time, as much as there is to praise, there's obviously some very...
With all of the great action sequences... Yeah. They're made up for by the horrendous final action sequence.
Yeah.
Which those, even for, like, CGI at the time, they were horrible. They looked awful.
So when I watch something from this time, I also think of the medium we had to watch them on.
Mm.
And I remember just watching this on VHS, on a CRT TV, and it looked like dog shit then. Exactly. the fact that I have it on DVD. It exists on Blu-ray. I kind of want to buy it.
It would look so bad.
I kind of want to buy it just to see. But
the DVD was just some dude sitting at a computer, just like cigarette, and he's like just VHS ripping it onto it, and he's like, print it.
I don't know the channel's name. But I found a YouTube channel that, like, they compare movies that are released on different mediums. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's literally ones that look... Did you guys know that there's HD VHS?
No, I did not know that.
Yes. And there are certain movies that look best on it.
Is the cartridge, like, this fucking thick? Like,
it's literally a brick. Yeah. With
films wrapped in it. It's the same size.
The VHS is, like, this fucking big.
You could kill someone by throwing
it. It's the same size, like,
as a thickness. Normal VHS.
But
it's twice as long as what you're saying.
You get it like one of those like Twix yard long boxes. All of the artwork on the VHS is just stretched. Like.
So it has more tape in it.
Yeah.
So it's the same size.
It's just heavier.
It is. But so the player reads it much faster.
Oh yeah, it's gotta be like.
So
you hear like a high pitched whirring the entire time.
I can't hear the fucking movie. VHS is screaming at me.
The VCR comes with headphones, so you can just like put it on to watch because it doesn't want you to hear them. Like you put them on, if you take them off, it's like a lawnmower. It's like, like in your living room.
So anyway,
smoke coming out.
I just like the channel.
I'm gonna have to check this out, honestly.
Because some movies when they were ripped to DVD, like it's a lose
quality.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know there's a few, like especially if you look at like the early 2000s, where there were movies ripped like straight to DVD.
Mm-hmm.
You could take, and essentially what it boils down to is they took the like a brand new copy of a VHS or that film print and put it on DVD.
Yeah.
There was no remastering. There was no cleaning up. There was nothing. It was just put it straight on there. Who gives a fuck about the quality?
Right. You're
gonna buy it anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, I would be curious to see what this looks like on Blu-ray.
That's interesting. I would like to know what HD VHS looks like.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a copy of this exists on that. So yeah, I would be curious as to what it looks like.
Is that going to be like, you know how vinyl's kind of like making a comeback? Maybe that's like the idea is like they're going to release.
I mean, it's not a new platform. Like this existed back in the day with VHS. But the players back then were like $2,000.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Like,
yeah, they're gonna release the Batman on like a clamshell, VHS tape.
It'll be the first VHS. I'm going to sell my VCR for like $3,000.
I still have a VCR.
I have
VCR.
Did
I? Or no, I have one now because I gave one away.
I have a VCR. None of my tapes work because they were in storage for so long that they probably would just get eaten the fuck out of. Like. If I put it in the VCR.
We also had the VHS tape rewinder. So
yeah.
That you didn't have to do it on the VHS.
Or
on
actually, the VCR. Yeah.
You could just go.
I never had one.
This is like, yeah, I mean, this is, wow. We're really.
Were those much faster?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're quite literally dating ourselves right now talking about this. Because we existed in the time of Blockbuster's Be Kind Rewind.
Yeah.
Where we had these like the VHS rewinders, because after you watched a movie, if you didn't rewind the tape, you were hit with a fee.
Yeah.
So like you'd stick them in there, rewind it, put it back in the clamshell, and take it back to Blockbuster and drop it off.
I vaguely remember like being excited that Blockbuster got DVDs.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like DVDs, I didn't have. Shit, we didn't even have our first DVD player till like 2000.
The only reason I was able to because I got a PS2 one year.
Oh yeah, they played DVDs, yeah. Didn't they?
Sony was always on top of the ball with that kind of shit. Oh, yeah. They were like their new console doubled as a entertainment system.
Yeah,
but via DVD Blu-ray.
Yeah, they were great at that. It just
brilliant for them.
Everything else was just they Sony couldn't make a fucking.
And it blows my mind that people still buy, like, Blu-ray players. Like, you don't have an Xbox.
You don't have
a PS4 or 5. Like.
Yeah. I mean, like, we have a Blu-ray player for no other reason than I had a Blu-ray player before I had an Xbox One. So I'm like, I'm going to save that. and use it.
Yeah.
And actually, I use it for, like, the bootleg Godzilla 1985 DVD that I have, the Blu-ray. I put it in there because it has a printed thing on it, and I'm afraid to put it in the Xbox at the risk that it's going to, like, rip the shit off of the printed top and, like, gum up the Xbox and everything. So I know it'll play on the Blu-ray player, but...
That's a good idea.
Because I don't want anything to happen to that copy of that, because I love that movie.
We have completely derailed.
Yeah. We have. What were we even talking about again?
I said my quality. Favorite fight scene, yeah. And the quality of how shitty the end fight scene looked.
Yeah, so I mean, that's...
What movie?
That's unfortunately, like, the worst thing. Okay. The worst thing about this movie is that end fight scene. Honestly, I think it's worse than I remembered. It's been a few years.
I mean, the rest of the movie, in regards to the fight scenes, pretty quality for the most part, up until that final bit where it's just like, oh my god.
My gripe is they should have just gone full balls to the wall, embrace that style of filmmaking, fucking shoot at Suitmation.
Yeah.
Why would you stop? Like, I get it. It's 1995. You're like, let's do the CGI. Everyone's doing CGI, but it looks like Lawnmower Man. And it just doesn't look good.
Yeah,
like,
really
just
bad.
Really just go balls to the wall, put the dudes in the suits, and just make them fight in a miniature city. It would have been so much better.
When Ooze takes over his Zord, whatever those bots were.
It just looks bad.
God, it's terrible.
It looks so bad. Like, everything is just so, like, glossy. Nothing moves fluidly. Everything is over-chromed. Like, it's just,
that's the
put
way
the
that
dudes
they...
in the suits. Make them fight.
Yeah.
Godzilla, the Heisei series did it all through the 90s, and it looked great. Just do it. Like, do it up. Number one, it's cheaper for your budget.
Yeah.
Because CGI cost way fucking more to render out that shit back in the 90s than it does today. Like, you can underpay somebody to render it out today.
I don't even understand how they did that shit in the 90s, but, you know.
And I mean, like, I get it. They were trying to bank on the technology of the time, but, like, that's...
It wasn't even close to being there yet. Like...
No.
Like, Jurassic Park is a major exception.
And this movie was shot 2 years after.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jurassic Park is a milestone. And this looks
like... It still blows my mind how good that looks.
Yeah, no, and this looks like complete and utter dog shit in the face of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's... In my opinion, that end fight kind of takes away from what everybody loves about the series. And to preface this whole tangent I'm about to go on, you're a huge fan of Power Rangers. I am a fan of Godzilla. Like, I never was huge into Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. But coming at it from this perspective... I would have rather have seen a Suitmation battle at the end. Because that's
like
what...
Like Crank.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, because that's what, like, that's what drew people to this genre.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you like Power Rangers, is because of Godzilla and that tokusatsu, like, that level of filmmaking.
What's the thing? That anybody that already liked Power Rangers, or even that didn't, say
they gravitated towards Godzilla and stuff like that was shot in the same Ultraman, all that shit.
Like, you do this, you're taking away half of what Power Rangers is.
Exactly. So, like, it kind of killed the heart of it.
Yeah.
By making it all CGI, because number one, it falls apart. You can't do what you could have done. And number two, it just would have been so much better. Like, there would have been, like, cheer-worthy moments of, like. And there are a few moments where it switches to Suitmation, and, like, the Zord, like, crashes through the building.
Right.
But it's so obscured by debris and everything that you don't really get to look at the suits or whatever. Like, it just, like, crashes in through the building and, like, into the pavement. And you're like, for me, I was like, oh, is this going into Suitmation? And it didn't.
Yeah.
And that, for me, that's a no for me, dog.
No, I totally agree. I think the movie would stand up better today, even.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, there are a lot of instances of Suitmation. I mean, there are a lot of franchises that killed themselves by relying heavily on CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I get it. They were trying to bank on what they had. And they're like, oh, people will go see it if it's a big CGI spectacle, big fight, whatever. You look at movies like Jurassic Park, for example, which relied on CGI for things that they couldn't do with animatronics. A lot of that movie is shot with animatronics.
Right.
If they had approached this more like that, I think it would have worked better. Like, if they had really stepped back and gone, what do people like about the series? Oh, it's the Suitmation fights. It's all that stuff. Keep that stuff. Use the CGI for things that you can't afford to do with Suitmation. Let's say the flying to the moon or whatever, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Sure, do that stuff.
But Aaron, they didn't make this movie for fans. They made it so that they could sell slime.
I mean, you're not wrong. They literally sold ooze.
Yeah. Whenever I saw just like conveyor belts of that shit going on, I was like, well, I wonder what they're fucking marketing this as, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're selling fucking buckets of that shit.
So I want to comment that Ivan Ooze really struck me as the Joker. Like Jack Nicholson's The Joker, where it was the Joker product.
Oh, yeah.
Like, of course, that was a psychopathic, like, thing where he poisoned a bunch of products and shit. But, like, it kind of, like, I saw the same thing because he was like, ah, buy ooze. And I was like, oh, he's just trying to brainwash people, but they did it.
Every time he makes the birds, I just think of Wizard of Oz.
Flying, my pretty.
Yeah.
Flying monkey.
Like, that has to be taken right.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, this movie just because they made newer and better toys.
And I mean, the toys that made us was like. Power Rangers was a whole episode. So, I mean.
Yeah. I wonder at what point has it gone from they made the toys as a way to, you know, like, build off of the movies and TV shows, that it is, they make the movies and TV shows to launch their toy line.
Yeah.
Like, there's certainly been a transition where it's like, the toys take priority, and then the show reflects what has come from that.
And I mean, like, a good example of that is Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a toy line that was ripped off of a... It was essentially ripped off the GoBots, which was a Japanese property. But it was headed by Marvel artists who created a whole backstory and everything for these characters, which launched it into the stratosphere of... I mean, there are special cases where there are toys that launch a whole franchise.
I think He-Man too, isn't that?
He-Man, yeah. Because that was a toy line that was written into a TV series. This whole episode isn't just a spotlight for the toys that made us, but I mean, you can watch that too because it's a good series.
I've watched the Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles, and pro wrestling ones probably like at least 10 times each.
Yeah.
I just love sitting there watching
them. Yeah, and I mean, the Ninja Turtles is an exception because it was a comic Eastman before it became a toy line and a TV series and all that.
Yeah, that's an example that... Well, I can't remember. I think it was the Saturday morning cartoon happened, and then the toys, like, blew up.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you look at the 90s, I mean, there's case in point, what's hanging on your wall back here. Toy companies felt they could market anything.
Yeah.
Wild Wild West. I recall quite a few toy lines from the 90s that are just questionable nowadays. Like, why the fuck would you try to sell that to, like, a four-year-old? The hell would they... Like, they're not even going to go see that movie. What the hell were you... Like,
I mean, well, I was obsessed with that when I was a kid.
Oh, no. Like, it's a great movie. But, like, I look... Here's a prime example. I look at the 1998 Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
And I go, who was taking their kids to go see that movie? There's nothing that a kid could relate to or, like, get out of that movie.
True.
Because it's just a bunch of awful New Yorkers being awful to each other. and the background is a giant monster that's attacking the city. Like, there's nothing that a kid should get out of that movie other than, oh, big monster and little monsters. Like, I was four when that movie came out.
Coolest things about it.
Yeah, so. Like, I was four when that movie came out. My parents didn't take me to go see that movie. Instead, 2 years later, they took me to go see Godzilla 2000, which was a suitmation. Something that I could get out of it because the plot wasn't, like, awful people being awful to each other with their drama and everything. Like, it's just weird to think about how the 90s marketed toys to people. Like, they were just so obsessed with, and especially this movie, like, it's like, ah, let's get the toys. And it turns out that the movie just did not live up to hype to sell the toys. I'm sure they sold toys.
Yeah.
It didn't live up to the hype.
Yeah, I don't think this...
Not the heyday of Power Rangers.
Yeah. I mean, it was amidst the heyday. Because, like, the show also continued after this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the...
They were just trying to bank off the initial success by launching a movie.
But, like, even in the moment, I'm pretty sure people were like, yeah, that's not the same.
No. And, like, that's kind of, like, where my mindset was thinking watching this movie, like, this is not...
Like, it could have been so much bigger if it was just like the show.
Yeah, if you had really captured the spirit of it.
Yeah.
Which they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't go to a different planet with barely clothed women in the TV show.
No, and
that part is always, like, I'm like, why?
It's very bizarre. And she turns into an owl, which is strange.
She had to go back to the Hooters.
That's actually not as strange as you might think.
Well, sure.
It happens in the series.
Did you watch the rest of this movie? It's not as strange as you might think. But I mean, this is an example of the writers didn't know what to do or make the characters relatable like they did in the TV series. And I'm not, like, super familiar, but you guys both said it takes place at the school. Okay, that's relatable.
Right.
That's relatable to, like, elementary school and middle school kids watching this show. They're like, oh, they're just like me. They're in school. They're facing everyday problems. That's what made Spider-Man so relatable to people in the 60s.
Right.
That's why Spider-Man blew up into what it is today, is because he is a relatable character. Yeah.
There's no character...
No, the writers literally start the fucking movie off with them skydiving. Who relates to that? What? Did I get together with... Did we all get together in middle school and go, let's go skydiving this weekend?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not relatable at all. Just
needed all the spectacle shit. Which, I mean, it's fine. A lot of it works, but
it would have been nice to have... Story.
There's no character-driving things in the movie, with the exception of Gordon is dead, and we have to save him.
So as we're discussing this...
Gordon Cranston. From now on, that's just his name.
Gordon Cranston. Like, I'm sitting here thinking about the whole movie... And I'm realizing, as we're talking about it, like, from a character aspect, did anybody actually fucking say anything?
No, not really. No.
I mean, there's a little bit of stuff between Kimberly and Tommy. That's about it.
Yeah, like...
But, like, literally...
But, like, minuscule. There's one moment on the alien planet.
Like, how about, like, humanize your characters? Because at this point, like... In this movie...
They all felt robotic. Yeah.
The Power Rangers feel completely robotic. Yeah. They are not relatable. They believe that they're just all powerful. Like, there's no part of, like, any of the movie where, like, Tommy is just, like, sitting on the edge of, like, the water or something and just staring off into space. Like, you could use that moment to have, like, Kimberly come up and be like, hey, what's going on? And him just be like, I don't think that we're going to be able to defeat
Ivan. They kind of do that on when they're at... I don't, whatever you call it, Stonehenge or something.
Yeah, but, like, they don't humanize them enough.
Yeah.
Like, they don't make them feel like there's an obstacle that they can't overcome. And then for, like, them all to come around and be like, listen, we're going to do this all together. Like, there's no
and moment. That's literally every episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is, like, the characters are having a good day. Shit goes down. They have to find out what they can do together.
Yeah. To face that obstacle. To
face this obstacle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no.
And then they figure it out with a Zord.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, and that's the driving force. But, like, in this movie, it's just like, oh, cannon fodder bad guys? Let's beat them up. And then it's like, who's next? And then, like, they just show up and they beat them up.
They're some decent one-liners, like, when they're in the suits and fighting. They're corny as hell, but I think they're hilarious.
No, no, but, like, there's nothing, like, every movie, as cliche as it sounds, has to have a moment where the heroes have doubt.
Yeah.
That's what has to drive them into the third act to actually defeat whatever's happening. And this
has it. There's like
it just doesn't have it. There's no doubt. Yeah, there's no meshing of the characters. Nobody talks to one another. Nobody's like, hey, this shit happened. You okay? And it's like,
does Rocky and Adam even talk to Tommy?
No. I honestly think that there's like almost
until the very end when they're eating their crab sundae.
Yeah,
fuck that thing was.
Legion sundae.
Yeah,
whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, like there's no interaction between the characters interacting as human beings to each other. It's just completely disconnected.
Yeah.
And they're just like, it's like, haha, we'll defeat Ivan. And like, it's just like, yeah.
The movie relies on you knowing these characters beforehand.
Yes.
It doesn't
which
work.
Is a detriment.
It doesn't necessarily work as a standalone thing.
Right.
No. Like, people that, like Aaron hasn't really watched the Power Rangers. So right. Him coming into this, he isn't going to get anything out of these characters.
No.
They're just completely unrelatable.
Even somebody that's watched Power Rangers their whole life.
Yeah.
And have seen this movie a bunch of times. I'm like, damn, there's nothing
there's
more character stuff between the villains.
Yes.
Than there is any of the actual heroes.
No, honestly, like, the villains, and, like, Paul Freeman is a big contributor to this, acts like a person.
And Lord Zedd is Lord Zedd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they got all the villain, like, interactions.
They got them right, yeah. But it's the characters that they were just, like, I feel like the director, like, every time that they were stuck with, like, a third unit director.
Yeah.
It was just, like, whatever. Like,
do the fights.
Yeah.
Do the fights and shit.
Do the fights. And then they're like, okay, but do you want us to do something? He's like, I don't care.
Jason's like, just do your ninja sound you always make when you punch somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's like sitting there reading like a magazine. He's like, that's great. I wish I was directing a Spielberg movie. Like, he's just like sitting there like doing nothing.
I wonder what else that guy's done.
Brian Spicer, because I thought it was Brian Singer.
Yeah, Brian Spicer.
Because I read it at first and I was like, yeah, what the fuck? I was like, he made like a great X-Men movie like 4 years later.
Crazily, 4 years later.
But it was not Brian Singer. It was Brian Spicer. And I'm pretty sure he has probably done nothing productive with his life since.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, okay. Director.
Yikes.
I'm the director of Power Rangers.
I don't know how to read these as.
But yeah, I mean, like, looking at this movie, it's just, they were not directed well. The story, while it has flow to it.
He has directed an insane amount of Hawaii Five-0 episodes.
Yeah.
He's a television show.
Yeah, like, pretty much television.
Wait, like Hawaii Five-0, the new series or the old series?
Yeah, it ended in 2020.
Oh, okay, the one with Scott Kahn.
Yeah, and the new Magnum PI. He's
okay. All right.
So he's heavily a TV director.
So they brought a guy in who directs TV shows to direct a movie
Of a TV show.
So he basically So he never switched gears to know that. Well, I mean, he knew.
But he did 3 episodes of Superboy.
But he never switched gears to do a feature film. He was just so used to directing TV.
Television, and especially a movie as long as this one, has a vastly different act structure. So
he directed this, and then he directed McCall's Navy in 97.
That makes sense.
For Richer or Poorer.
It feels like a TV episode.
It's a very long TV
episode. Yeah, no. The pacing definitely feels like a part of the show. But that's where the detriment is that doesn't... In a movie, like in a TV show, you have a very short span to explain what you're doing.
Especially a Power Rangers TV show.
Something episodic where it has your beginning, middle, and end.
You've got like 10 minutes to do character stuff, and then the other 20 minutes is going to be like...
Action
shit. Yeah.
10 minutes of getting the good guys getting their butt kicked.
Yeah.
And then Rita grows the monster into a
giant
monster. Yeah. And then they call their Zords and they just absolutely kick his ass. And that's an episode of Power Rangers.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I feel like this guy came in and was like, oh, I'm going to direct this like I would a TV show. Nobody advised him before, like, hey, switch gears. This is not going to be a TV show.
Right.
You're directing something five times the length of what...
He does a lot of TV movies. I wonder if he kind of thought, like...
I wonder if nobody from 20th Century Fox approached him and was like, hey, this is going to be in movie theaters.
Yeah.
So don't fuck it up.
New Line Cinemas.
Yeah, some agent walked in from New Line Cinemas and he's like, we're not even a part of this, but I'm going to fuck with your psyche right now. fuck this up so it never ends up doing anything. But no, I mean, this clearly suffers from a lack of producer-director communication and writer-producer
and studio involvement.
Yeah. No, I feel like there was no studio involvement at all.
Which is weird.
They had the rights and they're like Power Rangers, and then they just said, do whatever the fuck you want with it. And then they did it, and now they're probably like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like somebody screened that for the producers and they're like,
George Lucas, I think we did a little too much.
I think we did a little too much. Maybe I have to dial back the Jar Jar stuff. But no, there's a lot wrong in the production aspect of this.
Yes.
I do not feel that any of the actors did anything wrong.
No.
They played their roles perfectly. They did their thing perfectly. There is no...
They just weren't given dialogue.
No. This is one instance that I feel like in a movie that we talk about where there is no... I comment about the overacting.
Hmm.
But it's perfect. This is what it needs to do.
Well, you comment about the overacting with the characters Bulk and Skull.
Yeah.
Which is literally their whole stick.
Yeah. Like, no, they're playing their part exactly the way that they know how to play their part.
Yeah.
All the Rangers are playing their part. This is a fault of... This is a directorial fault.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because the director should have at one point either... You know, read the script and been like, okay, well, we have this happening. I think that the characters need to do this, blah, 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 blah. And it never happened.
Yeah.
And it falls flat.
Very flat.
Yeah.
We should probably rate it.
Yes.
And morph and get out of here.
Flipping time.
It's rating time.
I will give it a 6.5 out of 10, just because I know we were pretty positive on the movie at the very beginning of our review, but then we kind of got into the weeds of why it wasn't really fulfilling. And for that reason, I enjoyed a lot of the fights and stuff, but it was ultimately pretty hollow of a movie.
Yeah.
It was mostly just spectacle. So I there's a lot of Admiral things, like that really slick transitioning in the beginning of the movie, but for the most part, I'm here.
They blew their budget on a few key things and then just like
I mean, that fucking Van Halen song at the end. that could have been cheap.
No, oh hell no. In the 90s? Hell
95? No. I mean, yeah. They were still with Sammy Hagar, like, going very strong.
And I mean, like, you're coming off the 80s where they were huge.
Yeah.
You're paying top dollar to use that song at the end.
So. Am I going next?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm actually going to rate it lower. I'm going 6 out of 10. I still enjoy it, but maybe it's just the evolution of from doing this podcast. Like, I look at things differently than I did, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Per se. And, like, that the whole dialogue thing, I wouldn't have picked up on that. Clearly, I never picked up on that before. But this time, it's like,
damn.
Like, I love these characters, but I'm like, there's nothing there. They don't say anything to each other, you know? No. So, I would have put it at 5, but even like you said, there is some good stuff, like good transitions and good choreography with the fights. Like that's just as on par as the TV show. So there is positive things in here. That end just like kicks you in the nuts.
It's bad.
Like leaves a bad taste. Like they did with Ivan News.
I'm gonna echo your 6. It does have some very good, like we said, transitions, a few really big action sequences that are great. You have a lot of actors really hamming up their roles, which is, especially in a genre like this, you want that.
No. Yeah.
Just to keep things light. But yeah, I mean, it falls apart from the way that it's written to the way that it's balanced to the actual drama that's happening.
Mm.
It relies solely on action and none of the actual characters, which, I mean, especially when you're doing a movie, I mean, there are plenty of TV shows where you watch it go from TV to movie and those characters become more deep because they have to be. They have to be enticing to the audience and it has to drive forth the drama that's happening. And this movie just does not do that. It takes the same characters and goes, let's make them as one-dimensional as they are in the TV show and just runs with it.
Like, they're way, I would argue they're way deeper in the TV show. I
mean, no,
you don't have the
no, but the dolls, but like this, like, just speaks to me like they ripped them out of the TV, like a bad episode of the TV show where nobody speaks to one another.
It's like they're all clones of those people.
Yeah, yeah. It was like they got pulled in to do this movie, and all of the actors were like, "I fucking hate them, and I'm not interacting with them for this entire movie."
Actually, the reason that. So, I believe this is the debut of Rocky, Adam, and Aisha. The other three quit because they still paid them the TV rates.
Like, oh. Like so they just walked the fuck out.
They literally did. They're like, no. So that's why we have 3 new Rangers in the movie.
I mean, I would.
And then eventually when they started shooting.
So is this the introduction to those characters?
Yes.
The movie's the introduction to those characters.
To the Red Ranger, the Black Ranger, and the Yellow Ranger.
And they're.
Maybe not the Yellow.
They're nothing. They're nothing people. Like, they're nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes it even worse.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So wait, didn't exist at all until this movie. Or do you mean they replaced the actors with them?
No, they're new people. Like,
okay,
because the Red Ranger's Rocky.
Yeah,
he was Jason.
Oh, okay. So these are new people assuming the mantles of Jesus Christ.
I think their first appearance was the movie. It's either that or they did like a half a season and then the movie, something like that. They're still relatively new either way.
I was gonna say, if this is like a brand new introduction, that is so fucking negligent on the studio's part, like, whatever, they won't know.
I mean, I know the internet is a
bio... Buy our fucking toys!
The internet's a violent place.
Rocky adjacent, who cares?
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, it's okay. Just correct us in the comments section.
Berate us in the comments, please.
That would be insane if this was their introduction. Because
I'll try to find that after we're off air. But
yes, well, there you have it. Mike's recommendation is finished, and now we have another recommendation coming to us from Aaron, just in time for Christmas.
Oh yeah, it is Christmas, isn't it?
Hope you're prepared.
I am. But also not. I'm torn. Let me get the list.
Not the list!
I'm kidding, I'm not getting
the list. The list.
But I am trying to, I did have one picked, but now I'm having second thoughts.
Dear God, please make it stop.
Okay, I'm gonna do what Sean normally does. And I'm going to give you guys a choice. A choice. Would you prefer holiday to be thematic or trauma?
I mean, I'm gonna say holiday. Just to...
I'm also gonna say holiday.
Jingle all the way it is. All
right. Can't believe I haven't picked this one.
Jamie. Well, if you don't want to get spoiled for Jingle All the Way, make sure to watch it before next episode. We will be having a spoiler discussion about it. I hope you enjoyed our discussion on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. I know we enjoyed having it. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff, share our works, and happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
If you don't credit us for our works, though, we will hunt you down.
Yeah, we'll copyright strike you.
With all that power.
Comes great responsibility.
It's Morphin time.
Is this it?
They do all kinds of...